Hey there, this is Dr. Pam Perry. Get out there, get known podcast. Oh my God. So PR Daily, it's a PR newspaper kind of a thing. And I have one of the staff writers there. Her name is Sherry. And I'll tell you all about her right after this.
Welcome to the Get Out There and Get Known podcast. Join Pam Perry, veteran PR strategist, Emmy Award-winning producer and publisher of Speakers Magazine, who will show you how to crack the code in getting out there to get known. Each week, she either interviews her media friends, PR colleagues, or she just goes solo, offering you strategies on publicity, publishing, and platform building. So listen up to hear how to get booked on media places and on superstar stages. Now, here's your host, Pam Perry.
Hey there. So how to get booked in media places and on superstar stages. That's what this podcast promised. And I only like to bring guests that can kind of help you on that road to that. Sherry is a staff writer with Reagan Communications and PR Daily. And she is also, when I first met her, she was actually working for another publication, local publication in the Metro Detroit area, CNG Newspapers. And she was doing all kind of deadline-driven editorials and writing for businesses. That newspaper is in Farmington, Farmington Hills, and they've been around for a long time. She was there for about 5 or 6 years. Then she went to DTE. She was a communications associate. That's Detroit's energy company, and she did a lot of social media optimization, strategic communication. She did the corporate thing. Then she went to the Michigan Chronicle, and that is our premier African-American newspaper here in the Michigan Chronicle. She was there for about 2.5 years. There, if you ever picked up the Michigan Chronicle during the period of time of 2020 to 2023, Sherry wrote like most of those articles. Like, she was a beast. She wrote all of the articles all of the time and was excellent. And I want to give a shout out that she did one article for a client. I think it was Dr. Geneva Williams as well. So she had the pulse on the finger of the community, dealing with publicists, dealing with businesses. And now we have her today. Bring her up. We've got Sherry on here. Hey there, how are you?
Hi, great. How's it going, Dr. Perry?
Good. So now you're at PR Daily.
Yes, I am.
And here we go.
I got the applause. I've been waiting on that.
So tell us about what is PR Daily and what is Reagan Communications?
Absolutely. So Reagan Communications is the parent company of PR Daily. And at the Reagan Communications is a media company. They were founded in 1970 by the late Lawrence Reagan. And they're based in Chicago, but I'm remote. I'm still in Metro Detroit. So I got my roots there. But at PR Daily, I write a lot of just PR-driven stories for media companies and just what they're doing, some of the things that they're doing right, some of the things that they're doing wrong, and what they can just what PR professionals can learn from all these examples that I write.
That is good. I like the story that you did during Black Business Month in August.
Yes.
And you interviewed a couple of the publicists and things like that, like what it is that Black businesses need to do and that kind of thing. So just right off the bat, it's been around since 1970. Probably before you were even born, I'm thinking.
Just by a couple years.
And so it's been around for a long time. And yeah. I just put it out there that they probably don't have a lot of African-American writers.
That is true. There are some diverse writers, but it's primarily me on the PR Daily side.
And so for you to do the Black business story, I would like to applaud you because one, you just kind of got there.
Yes.
And then now you're bringing your roots, you know, you're coming from Detroit,
yes.
Went to Central Michigan University, but you're from the Metro Detroit area.
Mm-hmm, correct. Yep. Born and raised in Detroit.
Born and raised in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Worked for the Chronicle. Like you said, you wrote all the stories just about in the Chronicle.
I had some help, but yes, there were.
Most of the bylines were yours. I was like, this Sherry is writing all the time. I was like, this is a fast writing woman.
It was fun.
Doing the PR Daily, and are you bringing a little bit of diversity? Because there's a lot of African-American publicists. I mean, there's the National Public Relations Society of America. There is NABJ. A lot of journalists transition into publicists. If you've probably seen that happen a lot. So are you bringing diversity to it? Or tell us about some of the fun stories that you've done or the stories that you're kind of working on and you need some sources for.
For sure. I love that question because it's funny. I'm sort of in the in-between. I'm a journalist still, but I write about PR. And so just making that connection, that leap to PR has been a fun turn, but also interesting because just although I've been with media relations, been like connecting with PR professionals, like my whole career is just writing about them and some of their pains and some of their joys and triumphs has been just a stretch, if I'm honest, because I'm just used to writing about like city council meetings or like a feature story about a business or, but to write about the inside mechanics of PR, it's like, okay, this is a different beast, but it's also affiliated, of course, with journalism in some ways, because it's fun to write about media relations. I most recently wrote about how to make a press conference that's not boring, that doesn't suck.
Ooh, and so
that was fun. And just bringing some color there and learning, okay, this is what you do to make it interesting. Have some photographic elements that don't make it boring, essentially. But also as far as trying to get ideas, people can reach me at Sherry K, S-H-E-R-R-I-K at Reagan.com, R-A-G-A-N.com. Mm-hmm. They can just send PR ideas that they have. But also, we were talking about this before. Don't send a flyer. Please don't send a flyer.
Don't send your event flyer. Okay. This is not what we do. This is not, it says here, write about this. Yes. You need to take out an ad.
We need more. Yes. But you were asking something else about just, did I miss anything?
Yeah. Just basically like you're working on daily PR thing. So your background was primarily in journalism and you're interacting with publicists.
Correct.
And you're acting with the core companies and you worked inside in corporate communications. So, you know, DTE, they had to do some things there. But what have you found is like the thing that you're finding out is like, okay, like the press release, don't send a flyer or your press conference, don't make it boring. Mm-hmm. There are things that, you know, as a journalist that publicists do wrong. So do you start there by getting the stories together? So kind of help get the PR people together.
So what's funny is when I first started, I was just all about media relations. I'm like, okay, boss, can we write about X, Y, and Z? I don't want to like attack PR people because of course, we're all a community, but I just was like, well, how do we build? Cause there's a gap sometimes between journalists and the PR industry. There's like, okay, well, how come you're not responding to my pitches? How come you're ignoring my emails? It's not that bad, but sometimes journalists can get inundated with emails and leave a lot of pitches, you know, just ignore them. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And not intentionally, but it's just their workload and PR professionals are busy as well, too. So I wrote about I sourced local contacts, Jenny Miller. I'm sure you're familiar with her locally, but just connecting with her and other PR professionals who were former journalists. How can we bridge that gap with media relations? And I found some success there and just trying to find sources all over the nation, but also finding them in Southeast Michigan where my roots are and making that connection and that bridge has been very helpful. But sometimes just scratching my head, like, what does the PR person go through? What are their struggles? And so I write, you mentioned the PR Daily. I do something called the Daily Scoop. And that's every day, like, I find an interesting story from, like, a highlight. Just different people like Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk, their cage match that was supposed to happen that never did. Like, writing about the breakdown of why that's a PR disaster. And Elon Musk was another story. Just, like, what's going on with him? Just making sure I make those connections for a local person. A PR person who's like, okay, well, how can I make my client happy? How can I meet the measurables and just the different things that they have for me, the deliverables? It's a lot of moving parts, but it's all fun.
It is. Yes. So let's talk about your backstory. So obviously you're writing a lot, you're writing fast, you're writing on the deadline, you're writing about media. So it's like, you're writing about your own industry. Yeah. Where did this love for the writing come from the journalism? Where did that birth and how early did it birth? And did you know when you went to Central Michigan that you were going to go into the communications field?
Yeah. So these questions, I'm used to be on the other side of that. So I love these questions, making me think.
That's why I love doing this show though, too. You know that, right? Because I've interviewed like the professor from Howard University School of Journalism. I've interviewed people from the Washington Post, New York Times, and they're like, okay. So this is how this feels. It's like, yeah.
Exactly. I took some notes. I prepared. I thought I was prepared, but no, it's all good.
So your backstory, how early?
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
okay?
I think you're freezing a bit. It might be on my side, but keep going.
Can you hear me okay?
Okay. Just yes. keep going.
All right. So you mentioned my love of writing and how that all started. I would say even back to when I was like, that sounds cliche, but when I was in elementary school prior, when I could hold a crayon, I would like be writing these little baby little stuff to my parents or just what have you. I would write these articles and create these little news outlines for just different things when I was younger. And fast forward to high school, I went to Southfield High School, formerly known as Southfield High School. But
something else, yeah.
I know, but Brenda Perryman was actually one of my teachers. And so I know, yes. And so she was like creative and very inspiring. And then I just, you know.
Let's just stop real there. Just give a shout out to Brenda Perryman and her family because her daughter still lives in Oak Park. Brenda Perryman was phenomenal. I didn't know her when she was a teacher, but afterwards she had another career. She was a talk show host. She's a talk show host. I used to place all my clients on her show. She was amazing. She's a caregiver for her mom. She's a grandma. She's a great mom. And she passed during COVID. When I say she's passed during COVID, I mean, she was probably the first person I actually knew that passed during COVID. She was fine. She was doing her show 1 week. She got a little sick. She went in the hospital and she passed. And in Detroit, she was just so loved, and it just really just shook our whole community. I still can't believe it. And because it was COVID, we couldn't really celebrate her because we didn't have funerals. So not only did we miss her, but we missed her because we couldn't even like celebrate her. I did talk to her daughter and things like that, but people weren't gathering for funerals. So we had to do it online and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But Brenda Perryman was one of those mentors. I think you like talked about that was one of your mentors, but go on and continue.
Yes, back in the day for sure. She was an awesome woman and just dynamic in writing and just dramatic acting, all of that good stuff. But I was on the school newspaper and I would just write these articles and I got the bug then. And fast forward to college, I'm on the school newspaper, just all of these things. I'm like, you know what? Let me just write for a living. Let me just do that. And that was in the midst. I know they've been saying like the newspapers are dying. It's a dying industry. They've been saying that since I was back in college, but even prior to that. But just writing and being able to tell stories for people is something that's important to me and near and dear to my heart.
Oh, that is good. So, yeah, it really does start like in high school. I mean, you're writing for the newspaper and that sort of thing. And then it just goes and major in it in college. And then you're writing in the community newspaper.
Yes.
So if you have stories, people are pitching you. How do you like to get pitches? I know you like the email. You said it's Sherry K, two R's, K@Reagan.com.
Yes, SHERRIK@Reagan.com, RAGAN.com.
Okay.
Yes. And I like to get pitches that are pretty much just a regular who, what, where, when, why, like why this person's important, you know, just what they're doing in the news. And although I write PR-based topics, I get a lot of emails that are PR related, but not quite applicable to what I write. And so although it's a great campaign, it's a great release, it's so unfortunate that I can't write it because it doesn't connect the dots exactly with what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So I'd encourage those who are doing pitches to myself or to others to really take that beat and just say, okay, they're writing about X, but how can I go further and like make it more, you know, just relatable to what they're doing so that they can use that content. Mm-hmm. So sorry, go ahead.
You want the pitch to always relate to the audience that's reading your newspaper or your publication, your magazine. And I think the hardest thing for a publicist, because we almost have like two different clients, right? We have our media friends and we know that they have a job and they have to write for their audience. And then we have a client who wants us to write all about them. And it's like, no, we have to include a story. It can't just be all about you. And again, PR is a form of marketing, but it is not marketing. It is one of the wheels and the spoke for marketing of branding and getting your, but it's not that. So it has to be a story. You heard Sherry say that when she was in high school, she loved telling stories. Journalists love telling stories. They like to listen. They love to tell stories of what is going to be relevant to their audience. If you don't get anything out of that, what is relevant to her audience that they want to hear about that will be interesting, intriguing, educating?
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. That is the key. So I put your email up there, too, so people can pitch you.
Can I add to that?
Yeah.
So although there are some pitches that might fall flat, I took one pitch, for example, a firm was celebrating their 25th anniversary, and that's great. We couldn't feature it as is. So I asked them, I'm writing something else about like timeliness and how to just, you know, get different things in as a PR professional, because there's a lot of asks you all have. And so I'm writing about organization and all of that. And I pitched them and said, well, in these 25 years, you're successful. How do you stay organized? So I kind of segued it into that way. And now it's a separate article on its own featuring him and talking about his 25 years briefly. Not the whole story, but just right. I got it in there.
You got a mention in there. I love that. I love that. So I want to ask you, when you are dealing with a publicist, and well, just the average, say this first, how many emails did you get when you were at the Chronicle on the average?
The Chronicle, that's a loaded question. I got a lot of emails, a lot. But
more than 200 a day?
No, not that bad. But I got quite a few. It's like maybe over the weekend, a lot accumulated. But I would say in a week, hundreds easily, just overall.
Trying to keep that together. Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay. So now where you are, how many emails do you get a day?
Well, now it's more because I got somehow on a list. So they just keep sending me.
Oh, here we go. And then I put it up there on the banner, like, okay.
No, please send me emails. But it's just if they're specific and I can use them, but don't be afraid to send an email. Because the worst is like it's a no or just it's unanswered, which is not the best, but at least try.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. So now that we know, okay, you get all these emails, what is the best way for people to really pitch you in terms of you know, the subject line? How long? Do you like attachments? Do you like video? Mm-hmm. Sometimes people are now putting these videos in their thing, like, hey, Sherry, do you like that? Do you have time to like listen to that? You know, what's your favorite mode or the creative mode you've seen people do?
Can I go when I was at the Chronicle and even now too, back and
yes,
forth?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. At the Chronicle, I loved working with PR professionals like yourself, publicists who would send me videos, pictures, mm-hmm. just the whole outline, or sometimes just a media advisory about what's going on. And I would mm-hmm. I would attend those press conferences, the ones that were not boring. No, just kidding. No, right. I would attend press conferences. But I would love the pitch that just got my attention. And actually, it would sometimes the subject line would say attention, and it would just detail what's going on. Okay. Not all
That's
the time.
Great.
I know, but it got my attention. Not everyone's different, but it got my attention. But I would like the ones that would just really dig deep and just say what's going on in the first sentence, and not really like this long, fluffy story. Maybe tell me the story afterwards, but get to the point. What do you want? When's the deadline? What is, you know, just what's happening? So that's when I was at the Chronicle. At PR Daily, I like. Video it can work depending on like a campaign. I interviewed one woman in particular, and she talked about the different things that she was doing. She sent video and picture and wound up working out. But for my specific, like really niche style, a video does not really serve me purpose. But if you have one, it's fine too. But really just talking about what PR experts think and are just what makes them tick. Because a lot of times people think, oh, she is a PR professional, which I am, but just PR writing about this. But I'm writing two and four PR experts. So that's what the difference is.
It is. Yes. Yeah, two and four. Yes. Two and four them.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's a big difference. Mm-hmm. Deadlines. So let's talk about deadlines.
Mm-hmm. My favorite subject.
Oh, my God. You are a beast on these deadlines. You have to. I mean, it's PR daily. Okay.
Yes.
So it's PR daily. So every day, and you have the PR, your own scoop.
Yes, the daily scoop.
Mm-hmm. The daily scoop. So this is daily. So you've got fresh content all the time.
Yes.
So so tell us about deadlines. What is it that irritates you? So how far, if someone has something that they want placed, let's just say, I'll give a good example because the daily, obviously we know that. So give us some deadline examples of how soon people should plan. Mm-hmm. When I say plan, not publicists, because publicists are really like they're getting the clues from the client.
Sure.
The client will come to me. Oh, I want this out, you know. But what is the real ideal thing for a cycle where you're working and it can be done realistically and land in the newspaper, the magazine?
Sure. So if someone were to pitch me, like you mentioned, I'm like a daily writer. So I write every day, but also I have these weekly deadlines. So if someone were to pinch me something on a Friday and expect it to run maybe that Monday, good luck, if I'm honest. It's not going to work. But if they pitch me maybe like a week and a half, 2 weeks in advance, maybe even a month in advance, I'll take a look at it because my deadlines are so structured every day I have something due by 9:25 a.m. Not 9:26, not 9:20, not 9:30, but 9:25 a.m. Wow. So I work, yes, I work to get that in for the Daily Scoop, but also I have more flexible deadlines around 1 p.m. every other day for just, you know, various projects and tasks. And so if they pitch me, ideally 2 weeks, a month in advance, give or take, and sometimes months in advance, because I write about, you mentioned just different topics, like different timely monthly topics. So even months earlier would be ideal too, depending on what it is.
Mm-hmm. That is good. Mm-hmm. I want people to understand that she is not a machine. None of the journalists are machines. Give them as much time as you possibly can. Even if you don't have all the details yet, mm-hmm. give it to them so that it at least can get on their radar. What you don't want to do is you have this thing where you've been planning an event all year, and then you want to wait 2 weeks before you get all of the details, and then you let them know. And then maybe it's an event that's happening in Detroit, and you finally let them know, and they've already planned to be at the auto show.
Yes.
How about that? And it's like, I wish you would let me know 2 weeks earlier, because mm-hmm. you can't really move things around once they're kind of like in motion. So giving the journalists enough time, and I would say for an event, a good window is 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. 6 weeks is enough, especially if you're dealing with something that is weekly, and definitely if you're dealing with something monthly, give them at least 2 months, right? Because if it's a monthly mm-hmm. magazine, you can't pitch it the month of.
Exactly.
And definitely the month before, they probably have planned for the month that's going to come after that. So 2 months for mm-hmm. or 3 months if it's a national magazine. But anyway, knowing deadlines are really, really, Warren says, great info. Yeah, we live this all the time, Sherry. It's like, you know, I tell people all the time, and this is my thing. They think PR people can really create this magic, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, all I have to do is just call the publicist and they can make it happen. Mm-mm. It's like, ooh, yeah, we got Oprah on speed dial.
They're human too. You're human too. So I wish.
Right. It's like, I can't create the magic if you don't give me enough time or give me a detail or give me a story.
Exactly.
So give me the story. So give me some stories of some fun things that you've covered or some disaster things that you have seen happen. You don't have to name names or anything like that.
For sure. So, well, I'm going to name some names. No. But one PR story that comes to mind is the Daily Harvest. This company, they did this. There was supposed to be a recall for one of their products, and they didn't use the term recall at all. So it was just complete PR disaster. People were getting sick, and they were just being hospitalized. And yes, and I'm like, just use the word recall. So we kind of broke down why they fumbled the ball on that situation and what they could have done differently, and some other more just fun stuff, because that was a bit of a tough one. But writing about Elon Musk, not to get on that tangent, but just how he completely is doing something different with X, formerly known as Twitter. I'm like, what's going on? Like, what is? And now he's suing the Anti-Defamation League for defamation. And so we wrote about that a little bit today. Mm-hmm. And yes.
He'll keep you busy.
And so that's the thing. We actually don't try to, we try not to cover him too much, because we'll be spending all of our time writing about him. But just being able to keep my finger on the pulse of what's happening in the PR society, even from a national level down to the smaller granular level, it's a lot of fun and it's interesting. And one of my articles that I wrote is about Juneteenth. I think mm-hmm. we talked about that a little bit before. Yes, yeah. Juneteenth and how Walmart actually, I probably remember last year, Great Value, the whole Juneteenth ice cream, that situation, how...
That's another story. Told you, like, please don't do that.
I know, but that's another
story. Having Juneteenth watermelon. No, really?
And it was the wrong colors too. I'm like, at least get the colors right.
Right. But, oh my God, make it some kind of like, you know, get out there, get known. It's kind of like it's a Afrocentric kind of a feel to it, because I really like talking to the Black press and the Black media. So it's kind of like mm-hmm. it's not known like that, but that's why I chose those colors, because it's like, I'm just so used to seeing all these other podcasts that really talk about other things. I was like, I want to talk to our community about PR and marketing. So that's what that's why Get Out There, Get Known was started.
I appreciate that. That's just a great platform for us to talk about what's happening. So, but just Walmart was an example of what not to do for this year's Juneteenth campaign and just other different national campaigns and cultural things that I try to sink my teeth into and really just write about how they're doing well, because it's not all disaster stories. There's a lot of hardworking PR professionals and publicists who are doing great things, and we like to feature them too.
I like when there are PR stories where you find that there has been, quote unquote, an overnight success, which, you know, they really haven't been overnight success, but you'll find that someone just lands on the scene, whether it's an entertainer or it's an author, and they get that big break. And if you kind of dissect, how did they get that big break? A lot of it has to do with the hard work that they did, but a lot of it is being in the right place at the right time. So someone can end up on Good Morning America, or because someone can end up on CNN or the Tamron Hall, and you ask them, how did they get there? And it's was somewhat strategic, but some of it is a little bit of luck as well. Do you know of any kind of stories where someone just like, oh my God, that one media outlet or story or that show really took my career to a whole nother level, and they've been like doing whatever they've been doing for 20 years?
As far as that, I would like to get back to you on that, because I know there's a lot of these stories. We do primarily cover the companies and sometimes the people too, but I know that there's some good ones, and I would love to get back to you on that one.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like basically when they people use media like viral, like, oh my God, my TikTok went viral. And when Ellen had her show, you know, they would take whatever the TikToks were viral and bring the people on, and it would take them to a whole nother level. I think about a lady that I used to love all the time on TikTok, Bustin' Moves is her name, Marie Bustin' Moves. And she would dance. She's like a Gen Xer or baby boomer, I think it is. And she would just dance and dance. I mean, literally during COVID, that's all we did. We could watch TikTok and watch her dance, right? And she just was consistent with it. She ended up being on Steve Harvey's show, like one of those things where it's just like she's sitting on the couch talking to Steve Harvey. I was like, what? And her business just grew. I mean, she was basically like a network marketer kind of a person. She was selling diet food, or I don't know what it was, some kind of juice or that make you lose weight or whatever. But at this point, she's got like millions of subscribers. So now whatever she's selling, people are buying because now they know about her. But you know, when I saw her, and that happened, I think last year, but she had been dancing her heart out all of 20, all of 2021 and 2022. It was just kind of like she had enough viral videos and people were like, well, you know, the people, Steve Harvey reached out to her and said, would you like to come on? I've seen that happen, you know, where people are on social media and then they get into national media. Doesn't happen a lot, and it takes some time, let me tell you.
I do want to add, that reminds me, sometimes there's just these influencers, like grand influencers or grandmother, grandfather influencers, dad influencers, that's becoming a thing now. And so, yes, you're definitely, hopefully one of them will make it, but yes, that's a good story. I like
that one. I've seen a lot of them. Even Dr. Geneva, I mean, she's like an influencer now, and she's an AARP age and above, right? And she just has such a great presence, and really a lot of things, speaking opportunities are coming to her because of what she's doing. She's niching down. So the main thing, if you niche down, you really do have that kind of a thing. So so I'm going to give you like maybe a few minutes of say some like tips to someone who wants to get out there, get known. What is the first thing that they really need to know in terms of getting press coverage?
Yes, I appreciate that opportunity. I would say definitely understand your brand and just what you want, what you're trying to attract, the kind of business, and just ensure you really stand on that and stand behind that so that when you're pitching, it's not all over the place. It's just really concrete and concise. And so then that connects and resonates with others who would like to connect with you and just receive those pitches as well. But also, as far as building a loyal following, that takes work. Like you were saying, it takes just dedication and really striving towards that. Because when you have a brand, you stand by that brand and you are the face of that brand in many ways. And so just making sure that you really stand behind who you are as a person and have good work ethic, all of that great stuff, it really does help in the long run.
It is. And relationships. And if you're a part of association organizations, we were just talking about different groups that you're part of, making sure that you're known in the groups. Myself, I'm in a couple of groups. I'm in the Black Door Society, which is a group of Black women in business. We're part of that group. There's, you know, there's the Black Speakers Network, you know, networking with different people that have, that can be mentors or colleagues that you know about opportunities. NABJ, if you're a journalist, you know, being a part of that, the Black journalist things, you know, it could be like jobs or sources, just all sorts of things. But I will say social media is not the place always to just hang out and network, but just join some associations, whether it's American Women in Communications or Women in Communications or things like that are really where a business owner should really, you know, connect with people in real life.
Very
in
true.
Real life. Yes. In real life. So thank you. Well, I, you know, Warren and Stephen and Dave, thank you for joining us. And Mo, they're joining us over there from LinkedIn Live as well. He said, Warren said it was great info. Thank you, Sherry. You can reach her at Reagan Communications. Been around for a long time. She's got the Daily Scoop. She does the PR Daily. She does all the things that have to do with marketing PR. So if you have a story, have a lead, if you want to pitch me to her as a story, no, just kidding. Yes, I will talk to you about one thing that is in particular, like two things. One is a situation that publicists deal with a lot. And the other one is kind of like the new way that I see PR really changing. I've been doing this for 30 years, so it's always changing. But the last few years have been a lot of changes. A lot of it has to do with AI. So we'll talk about that in a
few. We have to talk about that.
Yes. So thank you so much for joining us today. I want people to reach out to you and keep you on their radar. Follow you on LinkedIn. She's on LinkedIn. And what's the other social media that people can follow? Your other favorite?
They can follow me on Instagram.
Yes. I figured, yeah, Instagram. People love Instagram. They love Instagram. So they can follow you on Instagram as well. Sherry K?
Sherry, should I type it in the chat? Sherry_Kalade Writes.
Okay, yes, please.
Okay.
I would spell it out too for the people that are just listening, can't watch it.
Oh, got it. Yes, it's Sherry_Kalade_Writes.
Okay. All right. That's it. So thank you so much for joining us today. Get out there, get known. All right. Take care. I'll talk to you later.
Bye. Great
helping. You've been listening to the Get Out There and Get Known podcast, brought to you by PamPerryPR.com, where you'll get insider tips on how to build your platform, pitch the media, and promote yourself with confidence. Head over to PamPerryPR.com and get the exclusive video training on the 7 must-have marketing materials you need before you pitch. In order to be considered in media places or superstar stages, PamPerryPR.com, where you help you shine like a superstar.